The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got engrossed, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain as it soaks you to the bone?
So we play that in part because obviously Oasis are playing tonight and tomorrow. In other part, it was to make Gavin Riley happy, and I apologise, Gavin, for having cut across it midway through. I'm sure you'd be happier.
Yes, it's quite all right. I've got enough medicinal bars in there to sort of pep up the spirits.
Now, the reason Gavin is with us is because Gavin, I think, remortgaged his house, maybe sold one or two children to be able to afford the exorbitant price that he paid for the Oasis tickets, which I now can't remember, but it was huge. He told us at the time. Before we get to the fact that he is a semi-delusional Oasis fan, I should say, I've just returned from holidays, and one of the books that I brought with me was The Secret Life of Leinster House, which is Gavin Riley's book about how politics and Leinster House operates. Fabulous read. Highly recommend it. Really enjoyed it, Gavin.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for saying so. Like, I never would have thought of it when I was putting it together as much of a kind of a beach read of people bringing it abroad and sitting out in warm weather. But actually, I've been pleasantly surprised by the number of people who have brought it for a lovely kind of beachside or poolside reads and who seem to have gotten something out of it. So delighted you enjoyed.
No, really interesting. And every chapter is so that's how that works. So yeah, enjoyed it immensely. I should say, by the way, Gavin, of course, in his previous of this parish, currently Virgin Media political correspondent. Now, the Oasis super fanhood, Gavin, are you of, I have a sense that you were too young to be around the first time.
A little bit. I was old enough to have experienced it, but not old enough to have gone to any gigs. And actually, when your researcher was ringing me up earlier on and she was like, would you call yourself a super fan? I kind of recoiled at it because I didn't get to go and see them for the famous gig in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in 96 or in The Point in 97 or It's Lane in the 90s as well. Although actually it wasn't for the want of trying. I actually ended up having tickets for a lot of those things. And, there would always be some like catastrophe where you'd have the ticket booked for you at Christmas. And then in early January, the family holiday would be booked and inadvertently it would have clashed with the gig and you ended up never getting to go.
I would argue as well, Gavin, the fact that you know that list of gigs and refer to them as those seminal gigs makes you a super fan.
Well, there you go. But also then I was talking to my missus there a few minutes ago and we were like, super fan? And she was like, Gav, have you forgotten that like at your own wedding reception, you picked up a guitar and sang two Oasis songs like at your own wedding? So I mean, I suppose if I didn't get to experience them firsthand live in the 90s, that might sort of tip the balance in favour of super fandom.
Are you vibrating with excitement, therefore?
I am now. To be honest, even up to a couple of days ago, I was still sort of in denial that it was ever going to happen. Because I think I remember when I was talking to you last summer when we had the whole Ticketmaster ticketing catastrophe, whenever that was, last October, November. I seem to remember being slightly like, yeah, but surely who knows if they'll still be together by the time the gigs come around. Like, who knows if they'll still be talking to each other again by the time of the first gigs in Cardiff and then Manchester and then Wembley and then Edinburgh. The fact that they still appeared to be talking to each other, admittedly, by keeping out of each other's way, Liam and Noel, that is, sort of means, suddenly now it kind of seems actually just very real and sort of tangibly, seeing the videos of the drone show over Croke Park last night, suddenly it sort of feels like, no, this is actually happening. And now you're sort of looking at, in a few hours' time, leaving the kids with their granny and granddad so you can go into town and soak the whole thing up. It's sort of almost too good to be true. Well, as the line goes, you could wait for a lifetime to spend your days in the sunshine.
Oh, very nice. If only we could find somebody who had been at some of those gigs to give Gavin a sense of what he might be in for. Dave Fanning, how are you?
What a lead in. Brilliant. Well done, Anton. Welcome back.
Thanks very much, Dave. So what's he in for, Dave?
Sorry, start that again. What am I in for? I might be accused.
What's Gavin in for?
What's Gavin in for?
Yes, in terms of gigs. You've been...
Yeah, I must say, he did mention those gigs. In fact, the Cork one I remember really well because it was around the exact same time in 96 as now, and the Leaving Cert results were out, and it was really good weather as well, and it was kind of mad because they really were huge in 96, and at the beginning of 94, nobody had ever heard about them. That's how quick it was, you know?
Were they good?
Oh, sorry, I better answer your question. I say he's in for a great night.
Thank God.
Don't worry, Gavin. Dave likes to take the scenic route, but we eventually get there. So, from what you've heard, Dave, of the gigs thus far in the tour, is modern Oasis the same as Oasis back in the day, or is this the Eagles where they won't share the same carpet?
No, I'd say it's more or less the exact same. Let's be perfectly honest here. They've got seven proper albums out. They've also got, like, frankly, the fourth album was a B-sides collection called The Master Plan, and it's actually very good. But let's not call that an official album, because albums 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they're pretty ropey, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a full good album there. Well, you might if you got rid of a lot of the production and if you cut each song down about half, because they just were overindulging. Having said that, it's the first two albums. So tonight and tomorrow night, it'll be 99% the first two albums. That is what they will play. And the songs that, like, have lasted this long and got 10 times bigger than ever and will last into the future. So therefore, the big question is, when people ask about the money that they're going to make, 50 million each or whatever, the real money is going to be made when this tour is over. Because Liam will be sitting there saying, damn, I wish I'd written more. Noel will be getting 200 or 300 million to sell his songs, which is what they've all done in the past. All the big names have done, starting with Dylan through Springsteen's 500,000. Are you ready for this? Or 500 million? Do you know, one act have sold their back catalogue and they've got 1.2 billion. This is a quiz question now for you. Do you know who the act might be? 1.2 billion for somebody to look after your money, to either give or not give to movies or ads or whatever it is, and to own for the rest of their lives. And you don't have to worry about it. It's win-win for the act in question. 1.2 billion. Do you think, have you any idea who it might be?
I'm going to say the Stones.
No, you're wrong. Queen.
Ah, 1.2
billion. And are you ready for this, though? The really weird thing is 68 lawyers involved. So maybe Queen won't get a lot of that.
So for the list of gigs that Gavin gave, one that he didn't list was Slane when they were supporting REM. Were you at that one, Dave?
I was. I was at REM. That was 95, I think it was. Yeah, around the monster time or whatever of REM. Yes, I was indeed. That was the strangest tour ever of REM, but three of them nearly died through medical things. I mean, three of the REM people, and one of them had to leave the band and everything else. It was mad carry on. But I do remember Oasis there. They were making a huge name for themselves for the simple reason that in, if you take, just take 1994, on April the 8th, 1994, Kurt Cobain died. That means that grunge was dead. So all that kind of miserable, brilliant music from the basements in Seattle was finished. And then there was a new thing happening because Manchester had happened in Britain with the whole kind of rave and kind of smiley face stuff and Happy Mondays and Stone Roses and that. And then this new British thing came out, which you'd call a Britpop, whatever you like. But like at the exact same month that that happened of Kurt Cobain, Leisure came out. And it was the third album by Blur came out. And that was Park Life. And it became really huge. And then 3 months later, the first album by Oasis came out. And when they were in with me in the studio and played a few songs, to me, they were just another band in some ways. But like the next Monday, they released the debut album. Within 7 days, it was the biggest selling album in the history of the UK album charts in just 1 week. It ended up selling 15 million copies. And the next one ended up selling 22.5 million copies. And the weird thing is, it's not like they've conquered America. They're huge in America, but not as big as Coldplay or not as big as U2. Not that kind of thing. So it's phenomenal stuff. 50 million albums nearly of the first two. That's why you'll be hearing a lot of that tonight and tomorrow night.
Well, with you in the crowd at that Slane gig was Claire Percy. Claire Percy's day job is she works in Dublin Port. Claire, first of all, recollections of Slane?
Yeah, it was huge. I think the weather was great, the buzz was great, and just it really felt like you were at a special historic moment. It was a fantastic gig.
Obviously, when a band rolls into Croke Park, with them comes a lot of stuff. What have you been processing through Dublin Port to make this all happen?
Yeah, well, look, it's been a really interesting time at Dublin Port. So over the last week or so, we've welcomed about 26 Arctic loads of staging equipment, which has come up through the UK from Wembley.
It's 26 40-foot containers to put on Oasis?
Yeah, well, 40-foot trailers. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not all of it. So this is really interesting that the stage has come up through the UK in through Dublin Port, those 26 loads. But on top of that, then, all the lighting and some of the technical equipment has come down from the Edinburgh gig via the north of Ireland to all get together in Croke Park. It'll all go back out via Dublin Port, but some of it came down from Edinburgh. So it's these two, it's a massive logistics operation involving like freight forwarders, hauliers, state agencies, shipping lines, ourselves in the port. It's a huge undertaking.
Has that lot become more difficult after Brexit? Was that all easier before?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's a good degree of paperwork involved. So stages are considered to be temporary imports. So there's a lot of paperwork to be done on the UK side, and then it all has to to be checked in Dublin. And then the poor truck drivers have to hang on to what they call these little carnets and get all the paperwork checked on the way out again, because they're classed as temporary exports. And, you know, there's brilliant people, you know, very professional people everywhere looking after all that stuff to make sure the thing keeps moving.
Now, excuse me for a moment, but I have a rare opportunity to insult Gavin, and I'm not going to let it slide past. A text says, Gavin, and I quote to you, "Oh dear, I love Gavin. But to hear he is a fan of a band who unashamedly copied the Beatles' look, in particular John Lennon, I very disappointed in him," says the text.
Well, I'm sorry to have let that person down. Like, you start to introduce me by going, like, "That book you wrote was very good." And then, like, 10 minutes later, it's like, "This person clearly has no intellect whatsoever because they like a bunch of hams," basically. We get that a lot. Like, Oasis fans get that a lot. The people are a bit pejorative and they think the songs are all knockoffs or that it's basically just a Beatles regen of the 1990s. The thing I'd say to that is that, yes, there is some truth to all of that, but the part of the beauty of Oasis songs is firstly that Liam Gallagher is not a tremendous singer, which means that his vocal range isn't amazing, which means that anyone with a couple of jars in them does feel like they could sing along and do a plausible job of it. But also the lyrics are kind of rudimentary enough in that you could just interchange all the you, me, I, we, and it sort of just feels like this very communal experience. So if, you know, you're talking about, you know, "Cause we need each other, we believe in one another," that it just kind of has this odd simplicity where I think it's almost universal, that it chimes with people in a ways that a lot of other more sophisticated music mightn't, because it's the kind of the tune of the everyman, or at least that's the way it kind of felt in the 1990s. When, by the way, I've been reminded to ask to remind, when I was 8 at the time of Slain in 95 or Porky Grieve in 1996, which is the reason why I wasn't able to go when a family holiday was booked to clash with it.
Well, that means as well you were also 8 for Nebworth in 96, which a text says, "Bootleg Beatles, Supergrass, Ocean Colour Scene, The Prodigy and Oasis. What a time to be alive." Dave Fanning, will we ever see a lineup like that again?
Well, there are many who would say that the Electric Picnic lineup in a few weeks' time is best in years. Yeah, whatever. Like, I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, the funny thing is, he's right about the kind of everyman stuff. Like, I think lyrically, Gavin, like, you know, they're not, you know, with all due respect to the songs, and the songs are the most important part about Oasis, really, in some ways, the way they're sung, but in particular the fact that he writes such great songs. I mean, the brother, the older brother, 5.5 years older than Noel. And that is that, you know, they're not going to give Paul Simon or Leonard Cohen sleepless nights in terms of the words department, I can tell you. It's not about anybody can sing them. He's right. That's exactly what it is. You just feel as though you can do it too, no problem, you know. And that's what people do, and that's what people will be doing. There'll be lots of blokes with their arms around each other, you know, swilling a few pints tonight and tomorrow night. No question about it. And they will be between 40 and 60 now and reliving something from the 1990s. Having said that, the albums are all back at the charts now, and it's the younger people that are buying the albums. So these songs just last forever.
Texas say, "Liam was walking out on a Slain 95 stage to fans singing Blur songs and was thrown a bit." Do you recall this, Claire?
Yeah, I remember. Call a bit of confusion, all right. I mean, everybody was there for REM. As Dave has described, like, their star was only rising at that point. So, you know, the focus was very much on REM. But it was like a major bonus to see those guys as well. But yeah, a little bit of confusion at the outset, I'd say.
What do you think, Dave? Are Blur all hacked off at this? Because they're not going to get 200 million for selling the back catalogue, will they?
Listen, Blur on a different trajectory. I mean, if you think about it, to be perfectly honest, I think that Damon Albarn is a kind of almost a renaissance man. The amount of things he's done outside of just a four-piece rock band and have been very successful with him, it's phenomenal. I mean, Blur have had 3 albums this century, one each decade, and they haven't exactly hit major heights or anything like that. And yet, they really are very good. I noticed Oasis haven't brought out a new album with this tour, and maybe they will do. And you would have thought they might do that. Just even the publicity that would go with it would fuel it to the top of the charts for weeks. So it's funny, like, they're just looking at the back catalogue, and Damon Albarn has just taken himself in so many brilliant different directions. And when people went Blur, Oasis, they were 2 different bands. They were both great. It doesn't matter, you know. And we need Oasis very much, because there's no kind of anger anymore. People are like, we just need a bit of noise in the charts.
Were you walking up towards Ed Sheeran there, and then you held yourself back, Dave? Were you?
No, Ed Sheeran. I mean, good luck to Ed. It's just, could you do it over there? Not here.
Dave, as ever, thank you very much. That is Dave Fanning. Likewise, thank you to Claire Percy. Gavin, before I let you go, given that Dave's description of men with their arms around each other roaring in tune with Liam and Noel, what is it you are looking forward to in terms of songs or performance or moments? What are you hoping for this evening?
I mean, it's hard to pick one thing out. I mean, Dave mentioning that basically it's effectively only 4 years of a set list that they've kind of cut out the fat from everything from the year 2000 onwards means that it's kind of all killer, no filler, really. Like, you know, when you've seen Liam or Noel in all the different solo gigs, or I got to see them in Slane in 2009 in the tour that they didn't finish. And there was always a little bit of filler because they're always still trying to flog some new album or that they had something that was more recent. The fact that it's now, it's like it's all go all the time. The one song which they sing quite early on the set actually is Acquiesce, which is the only song in the Oasis canon in which Liam and Noel both do vocals together. And given the story of the last 16 years and how little they were talking and how we never thought we might get to this sort of point, it'll be very sweet to hear that. And well, shout out to Peggy Gallagher, by the way, on the off chance she's listening, because it's all happening for her.
There you go, Gavin. Just to make you happy, there's Acquiesce. We'll play out on it. Stephen McLuhan on top of it as ever. Likewise, Steve Daunt and Micheál O'Connell on research. Aoife Breen is our series producer. Our editor is Emer O'Shea. Thanks to everybody on the show this morning. I'll get out of the way of Oasis and hopefully see you tomorrow between 10 and 12. Bye-bye.
Anton Savage Show on News Talk.